This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, I know exactly how to take this text. As we were talking late in the segment, segment about using a mechanism of singing or humming to kind of pass the time. Cam Smith, right fielder for the Astros, who's now lonely playing right field because he's not there near all his fellow infielders, says that he sings Bob Marley to pass the time and pass the loneliness. And someone says, so Sean, LMAO, that's why you hear men, all caps, that work with their hands humming and singing. It passes the time.
Yeah.
I think they're throwing a little shade at me for my lack of manual labor on my resume, is what that feels like.
Turns out, is this why people sing when they're on a...
Fair.
All these movies about chain gangs make sense now.
Guilty is charged, yes. Guilty.
Wait a second, those guys working on the railroad were actually singing about working on the railroad?
Singing and humming, yeah.
Oh my God.
Here is D'Amico Ryans, hard worker himself, on the culture that the Texans have established. This is yesterday. D'Amico had his first off-season program meeting with the media yesterday. Good to hear from the head coach on the culture they've established and others being able to carry his message.
We have a really solid group of guys who've been here. They understand, right, who I am. They understand my mentality, my approach, and what I expect out of guys. So it's not so much of me, so much of messaging of how we do things or what those guys can carry along the message, right? They can follow CJ, follow Will, follow Jalen, follow, you know, a lot of guys who done it the right way. They've seen how I've operated for the past 2 years. So, coaches, we don't need to be out there. We know we have really good leadership on our team, guys who do it the right way, guys who bring other guys along, and guys who expect to build a winning culture here. And so they just follow those guys. They'll fit in just fine.
It's exactly what we worried about last year, which is, all right, they've got the swarm culture on defense. And everything that D'Amico is saying right there is, I feel like it still applies to the defense. I'm not so sure it applies to the offense. I don't know exactly who in the offensive line meeting room is the guy that has been there and understands the culture and this is how it's going to be. Like, no, whatever the culture was on offense last year was not the culture that you need to aspire to. That's still a work in progress on that side of the ball, I think. And I think CJ, it gets dicey with quarterbacks. CJ knows it, and CJ operates the way I think you want a quarterback to operate. But quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, you got to be careful on how much you lean into them being the enforcer on a lot of that stuff. You got to have veterans at each position group that you feel really good about. On defense, they've got veterans at each position group that you feel really good about, that care about football deeply, that compete like crazy. On defense especially, they have an appetite for violence amongst guys who are in their 30s, which is nice. Sometimes the testosterone levels die down a little bit and you don't have the appetite for violence. No, still a very healthy appetite for violence on defense. Offense, I'm not so sure. I don't know what the appetite for violence is in a lot of those position groups.
Yeah, we just don't know. I do feel like part of that cut there, Seth, as I'm listening to it, I do think about Laremy Tunsil and him not being in the building. It's become quite evident over the last several weeks and months as the draft gets discussed, or as Stingley gets extended, Nico gets extended last year, Jalen Petrie gets extended. It does become very apparent that at least moving forward, being present is a big deal with this leadership, you know, with the head coach in the front office, I think. I think that's a big deal to them. And I'm partially guessing here. I don't know. Maybe I'm out over my skis, but I do feel like there's part of what D'Amico is talking about there, where in my mind I feel like the last vestiges of the guys that work out somewhere else when everybody else is in the building are now gone. And we can do what it is you're talking about, which is now try to establish that on the offensive side of the football better.
Well, the one thing I like, too, is when we talked to Caserio last time, Caserio had made the point that they really try to provide everything that a player wants or feels he needs in his offseason preparation. Because what will happen a lot of times is guys go and they start working out at some facility somewhere, and they have this new thing that they love or that they think is vital to their performance. And that's why I got to stay there and I got to work out in Nevada instead of in Houston or wherever else. So teams understand that, and they try to work with the players, which can be frustrating from the team's perspective. Because usually by and large, what happens is some guy will be like, I absolutely need this piece of equipment. They buy the equipment, they put it in there.
It's dust.
And you could run a white glove on it 3 weeks later.
Why is the wrapper still on this piece of equipment?
Yeah. Or you got these damn Instagram personal trainers, where they get their clients convinced that if you're not balancing on one foot on a physio ball while holding a kettlebell above your head, then you're not really developing your proprioception properly or whatever.
Oh my
God. Gotta fight against some of that.
Yeah.
Some of that, really, frankly, some of the quackery that's out there. But it's a give and a take, and you try to really just make guys feel like, yeah, this is the best place for me to be individually, but that it's also the best place for me to be to really get to know my teammates.
Yep. Here was Nick Caserio. We're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans again in a second. Here was Nick Caserio. One of the cuts from his press conference last week that got the most run was his insistence that the Texans do not draft on need.
Well, we've never drafted for need around here. I mean, we're never going to. So we're going to pick the best player that we feel fits our program, regardless of the position. I'd say other than quarterback, I mean, I'd say pretty much any position is on the table. So like it always is. So try to stay true to our board. That's the reason we grade the players. So we put the players on the board. We grade them accordingly. We value them accordingly relative to what we think the role is going to be. And then we take them off the board as we see fit. So, I mean, that's not going to change.
Okay, so that was Nick. So D'Amico gets asked about this yesterday. So this is always fun. When it's a question that the person that D'Amico Ryans works most closely with gave his answer a week ago. D'Amico Ryans asked yesterday on drafting best player available versus drafting for need.
That's always the big talk in the draft, like need, best available. For us, we're going to take the best guy on the board. We won't just pass up a top player on our board just because we have a need at a certain position. It's okay to enhance and have a really strong position group if the draft falls that way. So you go in, there's no handcuffs on, hey, we have to draft this certain position and we're stuck at only looking at this position. No, we have a broad view of how we want to enhance our team, and it's not just looking at it, in a tight lens of it's only one way. Like, we open, like, if it's a position there, if it's a player that can really change our team, like, we're going to take that guy. So that's where we talk about not truly drafting for need. We want to take the best players on our board.
So a slightly less dismissive version of Nick Caserio's answer.
Now, this is the way that I think some teams do it, to where they can speak and not be lying, where they say they take it based on their board or best player available, is that you kind of tweak the board a little bit based on maybe what you need or the types of players that you have. Now, some players are on there that just don't fit your system, so those guys are off the board. But that sometimes, all right, maybe there's a tie here, or these guys are graded very similarly, but boy, we sure could use an offensive lineman and we don't need an edge rusher. And then the other thing that happens too is that when you see a GM like Nick move around within the draft, all right, we want to be sure we're taking the best player available, and we stay true to our grades and our methods and everything. But, boy, there's a few offensive linemen just a few picks above us. And, boy, it'd be nice to be right there in that band of offensive linemen.
I don't think it's black and white. I do think the truth is probably way closer to what Nick is talking about. Like, I don't think he's standing up there and lying about it. I wonder if, like, getting asked about it every year gets frustrating. Oh. He gets asked about it every year, you know?
No, every GM does. And it's got to be one of those things that the question that, I think that was the response that inspired the question of the day last week, where John asked, what's something that you say that's always a lie.
Yeah.
Something you say all the time.
Yeah.
But it's always a lie. And I think a lot of people just assume the GM is lying when they say they take best player available.
Yeah.
I think some organizations totally do take, oh, let's say 98% of the time, best player available, and some don't.
Yeah.
But they all say that they do. But it's one of those things where I feel like if you're a GM who genuinely takes best player available, it's got to get really old knowing that people think you're lying every time you say it.
Yeah.
So, like, the question of the day could be for those guys at some point. Like, what's something people say that it's true, but that everybody assumes is a lie?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think there's some people that are convinced that everybody cheats no matter what.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, people who cheat tend to feel like everybody cheats.
You mean like cheating on a spouse or something like that?
Yeah, or on a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something. You know, people have a more cynical view of things, so they just like, they're lying when they say they've never done this or that.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. I think it's specific to this business. Like, I talk to people, and they'll ask me about people from other stations, and I'll be like, no, I'm good friends with so-and-so. I'm friendly with almost everybody in our business. And I think there's a lot of people, especially that see some people who maybe aren't as friendly with each other on social media going back and forth, and they just assume that we all hate each other, you know?
Yeah. So they don't believe you when you say you're friends with them.
No, I'm friends with this guy. I'm friends with that. Especially the bigger an a-hole that person is.
And you don't think they, and people just probably don't believe you.
They probably don't believe me. Yeah. They probably just feel like I'm not trying to start things, you know?
I get this, and this is interesting again, and this goes like how people's personal experience colors things. Because guys like in radio will be like, so what do the Texans allow you to say and not say?
Yes.
I'm like, they don't say it. Like, the only time they've ever come to me is when I say factually, like they correct something that I was factually wrong about. Yep. Like by and large, I've got carte blanche to say whatever the hell I want.
People don't believe that.
But they don't believe it.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. And it is the God's honest truth. I tell people this all the time. Like, the only time... The only time that somebody has reached out where I've said something, and I've said plenty of things. I mean, look, you couldn't go through 2020 through 2023 without criticizing the team on a daily basis. Was literally in 2014 where, remember Jadeveon Clowney tore his knee because the thought was he got his cleat caught in the pallet system there?
Yeah.
And the team, I think, was very defensive of the pallet system back then, at least, because they had gotten sued by Brett Hartman, the punter. Gene Agdorf was the lawyer on that one and stuff like that. I got a call from Kevin Cooper with some stats on the Texans' injury rate for their grass versus the other fields in the league. That's it. That's
one of those things where they're not like, they're just saying, hey, here's more information.
Yeah.
And the one time, the biggest example, and again, it was something that didn't need to be corrected, but the Texans felt like, and the Texans were kind of PO'd about this, because I had said at some point, we had gotten a text during the show where they were, somebody had said, well, the Texans will never draft a black quarterback or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went off. Then later in the show, some quarterback became available. There was news that some quarterback was available for trade or something. And I said, I don't know. I guess the Texans will have to check their racial policy first. And somehow that
sarcastically.
I said it sarcastically. Yeah. It was obviously sarcastic. It got back to Bob McNair somehow that I was saying that the Texans have a race policy on quarterbacks.
For quarterbacks. Oh, my God.
So I got a call from Bob McNair. He was like, Seth, we don't have a racial policy. I was like, Mr. McNair, I know. I can assure you, this was a sarcastic comment, and I don't think he believed me. I think he was doing that thing where I was saying, and he didn't believe me. He's like, well, Seth, it's just ridiculous. I was like, I know. That was the genesis of my joke that I was making. It was ridiculous.
Did you send him the audio? I would have sent him the audio.
The program director did, but at that point, there were some just like genuine morons advising Mr. McNair,
that
didn't get it. Yeah. I don't know. It was such a clear-cut case.
Right.
Such a clear-cut case of sarcasm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, but I think it was in the midst of a whole lot of other stuff going on, so they were kind of... But again, it was him calling up. He didn't say, don't say that.
Right.
He was explaining to me that they don't have a racial policy on quarterbacks.
I know.
I'm like, you know what? I really... It would be big. It would honestly be a big surprise to me if you did.
Yes.
You know, like 6 months before you draft Deshaun Watson.
Oh my god!
But
it's a good topic. Text in some things that you say that are true that you say that people just don't believe you.
Well, the one thing I know just is this: that there's some people that are convinced that every NFL player is on steroids, and there's nothing you can do to sway them from that.
Who are these people?
And I'll be like, oh, I'm not denying.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If there are,
you're right.
It's just like, by and large, for the most part, like football is a sport where it, like, because they test as much as they do,
yeah,
whatever you can get away with doesn't necessarily really give you all that much an advantage. It's not like a 100-meter dash where like 1/100th of a second is the difference between being on the Wheaties box or not.
Yep.
So it's not like some people are convinced that every professional athlete is on PEDs.
Nothing
you try to tell them no. And I'm like, dude, there's guys that you can't be bothered to, like, they can't be bothered to take creatine.
Yes.
I assure you. Yeah, whatever, Seth. Whatever. Like, yeah. All right.
Ted Washington was definitely roiding. What are we doing, man? 380 pounds. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right. Coming up next, CJ Stroud. He met with the media yesterday as well. He said one thing that got people very excited about the possibilities for the offense this year. And we got to go back and listen to his take on the offensive line changes as well. With CJ, his first words when he was asked about it was, yeah, I'm excited. I need to listen to the rest of that cut to see exactly how excited he is. We'll get to that in the next segment coming up next. Here was CJ Stroud yesterday. This got people excited. CJ, not even implying, basically just saying it sounds like he's going to get a lot more control at the line of scrimmage in Nick Haley's offense than he had in Bobby Slowick's offense.
Yeah, I mean, he comes from L.A. and New England, and, you know, he's going to bring some of that swag over here. So, you know, that kind of is what I'm used to, is, you know, taking control and, you know, being a little more pre-snap, you know, having tools to put my guys in the best position. And that's, you know, something that we really didn't work on these last 2 years. But even those principles I learned from, and it made me better because it added a new element to my game. So, you know, be able to, you know, just get better and learn from, you know, what he did with, you know, New England and L.A. Would definitely help me, because I feel, you know, those are two schemes that I'm, you know, kind of used to, in a sense. Like, that's kind of what I ran out of Ohio State, what kind of New Orleans does a little bit, and in LA, you know, it's kind of what we ran here these last 2 years. So I'll be able to, you know, put my swag on it and have fun with it. And, you know, he's all about, you know, me taking full ownership and running the show, and that's what I want. So you know, I'm gonna get what I want, and that's really been really cool, just to see that he's like bought into me, and he doesn't really know me well yet. So you know, he talked about today having blind trust, and, you know, I have a lot of trust in him already. Just how he talks, and, you know, how he presents in the room and things like that is really cool to see.
Okay. So far, so good with CJ and his new offensive coordinator.
Did CJ ever say anything about swag with Bobby Slowick?
not as many times as he did.
I can't remember. Oh, you know what? The first time I heard it, I kind of thought about it, but I was like, I don't want to overanalyze this. But now I'm in the mood for overanalyzing. I feel like I could go through. Why don't you forward me all the transcripts, Sean? I know you keep the transcripts from all the press conferences.
I do.
Send me every CJ Stroud press conference since he's been here. And I'm going to see if he's ever referenced. I'm going to control F, yeah, on whether he's ever used the word swag in describing or talking about Bobby Slowick.
I think
mind you, This is a big step for me because, by and large, I've been waiting for swag to die for a long time.
Yeah.
And yet it seems to have managed to become a standard word. Like, cool. Cool was only hipsters said cool back in the 1950s or 60s. And then, but by and large, it just became something. CJ just used the word cool.
Yeah.
In its slang sense. So swag, there was no swag with Bobby Slowick.
No.
There is, at least as of now, there's some swag with Nick Caley. And I'm for it.
I am too.
Damn it.
I'm going to take CJ's word for it. We've not gotten enough of Nick Caley yet for you and I to make our swag assessment on him. I just got to take CJ's word for it that this is an offense that's going to be slathered in swag this year.
I just
paintbrushes of swag.
Yeah. I didn't mind. Like it was when the old guy football coaches started, when Brian Billick and everybody started talking about swag. That was when Billick started being all about swag. That's where that was too much for me.
Not cool.
You got to let it die. If the kids are using it, then so be it.
It's like when your parents started to show up on Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
the first time your aunt said, whoop, there it is. You're like, all right, well, that's dead. So yeah. I thought as soon as Billick started leaning into swag was going to be dead, but it stuck around.
Dad walks up to you, what's up? Oh, that's dead. That's dead. So that was CJ on the offense. Now, specifically as to what he said, I am kind of excited to see what that looks like now. You know, that big drastic shift in how the offense is administered, you know, with CJ.
Yeah. No, in the pre-snap stuff and CJ's command at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot of people were frustrated with that last year.
Yes.
I tried to be patient because I didn't know whether it was because CJ's a young quarterback and they're trying to bring him along slowly. But it got to the point where it just, like, something needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And CJ having very little authority at the line of scrimmage other than checking in and out of predetermined plays and you know, the standard fare. I think CJ's a guy who's totally mentally capable of doing all of that stuff. And, you know, he wants to be like Tom Brady that can come up to the line of scrimmage and figure out who's blitzing, who isn't, but then have the authority to change the pass protection. Slowick, at one point in one of his press conferences last year, just flat out said, we don't spend a lot of time. We don't want to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback to diagnose before the snap. The old Kubiak-Shanahan philosophy is, hey, whatever play is called, there's an answer within the play for you to get to where you need to get to. That there's it'll lead you, the reads and the progressions will lead you to the open guy. And that's becoming more antiquated.
Yeah.
I think there's just quarterbacks that can handle it and can do it and can kind of make that read pre-snap. It cuts out a lot of potential areas you can make mistakes. And I think CJ's capable of doing that. So that'll be fun to watch and see how he does with that this year.
Big thing to watch at training camp for sure. No doubt about it. And in games, obviously. Here was CJ Stroud yesterday on the changes to the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting, you know. It's something that I've learned is league. You don't ever get comfortable, you know, just you got to be able to adapt and change and upgrade, you know, like every year the iPhone upgrades, you know, you got to be able to upgrade like that. So that's something that I think that we'll do. Personally, you know, for me, myself, that's a goal of mine is to get better in things that I need to get better in. Also, you know, polish those things that I'm good at. But, yeah, it's exciting having new guys, you know, you know, different. Everybody's different. So new personalities, new mindsets, you know, and just really having one common goal and the same goals, I think, at the end of the day is what creates that that winning program and that winning tenacity that we're all looking for. So.
I love the iPhone comparison. Like, it's they haven't upgraded their iPhone in 2 years. You know, the Texans.
Every year the iPhone updates, and yet every year autocorrect sucks.
Yeah.
So not every upgrade is a good upgrade.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's every year there's an upgrade, and a lot of times it's with things that you can't or don't use, and autocorrect remains awful.
What level iPhone are you right now?
I have zero clue.
Okay, so you haven't gotten one in a while.
I haven't gotten one in a couple of years.
Yeah,
mine's paid off. That's how old it is.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, dude. I know I got the 15 Pro Max earlier this year because, you know, we started doing a lot of videos and things like that, and it's a much better it's a much better camera. But the autocorrect, you're right, it sucks on it. It's way worse than it was in my previous one, you know?
I'll tell you the other thing that's awful just on Macs in general, and I just don't understand how this is the thing they're awful at, finding a file that's on your computer.
Yeah, you hate
like
that.
It's atrocious. You can type in the exact file name and it won't show up in Finder or Spotlight or anything else like that. I've been on all the Mac forums, and even the Mac nerds don't have answers for it.
Really?
How is this the thing you can't do?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, the one thing that you should be able to do better than anything else is, like, oh, I might as well go into my actual file cabinet and search for a physical file. I'll have more success than doing it on my recently updated computer.
I didn't mean to get you hot on this. That was not my intent. Back to the offensive line. That was excellent. Back to the offensive line. So CJ said he's excited about this. I don't know how excited he sounded. This was when he was asked as a follow-up. Were you surprised at the changes along the offensive line?
I mean, that's something I feel, you know, is not my pay grade. You know, it's just a quarterback. But at the same time, you know, you build relationships with guys and, you know, your LT, of course, who I know you're talking about, and Shaq, you know, those are two of my best friends that I've come into the league with. So, yeah, it hurts, you know what I mean? And you know, our front office knows that, and they know how I felt about it. But I totally understand, and I'm not against it at all. I totally think that we're heading to the right side of things. And, you know, I think something I learned about Nick is that he has a plan. No matter what happens, he always has something up his sleeve. So, of course, sometimes we don't know what that is, but you just have that trust, and that's something that we actually talked about today, having blind trust and, you know, having earned trust. And for Nick, I mean, he's gained my trust in both areas. So I'm excited, but, you know, I'm always going to be best friends with those guys and rooting them on, and, you know, I still talk to them daily. So
I think this is where CJ being religious helps out a lot, because some of the things he said about Nick is the same attitude you have to have about God himself. Yeah. At times it's like, he's got a plan. You don't know what it is.
Blind,
you know,
faith.
Like, hey, don't, just have faith and that it'll work out all right. With humans, you know, as CJ said, there's an earned trust too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, there's one part of it is, okay, I'm an employee. That's my boss. I got to have blind faith that they're going to do the right thing and just not worry about it. But it's a whole lot better when you genuinely feel it and believe it. And I do think there hasn't been anything this off season that's felt at all like, you know, there have been no reports or anything that CJ is agitated about the way they handled anything.
No.
It was, I think by and large, CJ understands that last year's performance as an offense wasn't good enough.
Yes.
And there was a lot of change all over the place. The offensive coordinator is fired. You got rid of three of the starting offensive linemen. You allowed the offensive line coach to retire, whatever it might be.
Yep.
You got to change something.
Yep. And I think, I think that's, you know, them tearing down the offensive line, it had to happen. You know, if he's friends with Shaq and Laremy Tunsil, whatever, but it had to happen.
I have an iPhone 13 Pro Max.
Okay. That's what I was on.
Is that old? What's the current one?
The current one's 16, I believe.
16?
16.
Oh.
Yeah.
This thing's probably gonna blow up in my hand.
Yep, probably.
Am I allowed to fly with this?
You're holding basically a landmine in your left hand right there.
I might as well have a dial phone.
Am I allowed to fly with this?
I wanted to get rid of my smartphone completely.
Yeah.
Just for mental health purposes.
Yeah, good luck.
But I realized, man, I'm not ready to fly without my smartphone.
Yeah.
I know. And even if I were, I'd be cool with paper boarding passes and everything. Mm-hmm. But now, if it weren't for my phone half the time, I would have no clue when my gate changed.
Correct.
Because you can't understand anything they're saying over the loudspeaker. And sometimes it's on your phone before it's even on the monitor.
Yep.
So I can't. I can only get rid of my smartphone if I also stop flying altogether.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's.
And look, I don't have the resources for a Madden bus.
Right, right. Oh, and if you stop going to concerts because your ticket is going to be on your phone, no paper tickets anymore. Like, everything's on there.
Yeah,
man.
Can you even get into a Texans game without a smartphone?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Or any game at all where it's all electronic tickets?
I'm not sure. Amy's a season ticket holder. So one of the days we used to look forward to back in the day was her actually getting the physical tickets, the booklet of tickets sent to her, because you got to see which players were on the ticket. Like, oh, these are the guys that they think are the best 10 guys on the team or whatever. I can't remember last time we got a booklet of tickets sent to the house, you know?
Can you get like a, they have like cheap smartphones, right? Like I can get a burner phone or something.
I don't know, I'm not sure. Put it out there. Yeah, text.
Anybody with burner phones, text in.
Text in, yeah.
I promise I won't write your number down.
Right, if you can score some Molly while you're at it as well, that would be great. How's that sound?
I got a like Cricket Wireless or something. I just need a cheap, smartphone where I can download emails or PDFs and everything.
I need a Cricket burner phone, a bookie, and just like 5 ounces of Molly. That's what we need. Yeah, we're good.
What's the analog way to do crypto? Is it possible for me to do Where can I go buy crypto at a desk somewhere?
Rotary crypto, yes. Oh, text message. Friend of mine, this goes back to people saying things that are true that people just don't believe. Yeah. Friend of mine is fully convinced that the NFL is scripted and rigged. Nothing I say convinces him otherwise. That's a big one these days.
There are a lot of people that are 100% convinced of that.
Yes.
I just, honestly, one of the scariest things for me on social media right now are some of like the really, really crazy conspiracy theories that people are I thought the flat earthers were just people trolling for the longest time. And now I realize that there's an entire generation of people that feel like you're an idiot if you believe in a round earth.
It's out there. It is out
Not
there.
An entire generation, but like it scares the hell out of me.
Too many people.
It scares the hell out of me.
Too many people. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. That's where we're reading those texts from today. Final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guy's got going on In the Loop. This Houston athlete is the best at his job right now. Out of all of them, this guy's the best at his job right now. That's coming up next. All right, final segment, Payne and Pendergast with you.
We're talking Washington University?
No, what were you looking up during the break?
I was looking at the original members of the Big Eight Athletic Conference.
Okay.
So
and Washington University was one of them?
Yeah, that was one of the first victims of realignment.
Like Washington, like the state Washington of
Washington? University of St. Louis.
Okay,
Sean.
Everybody
knows where Washington University
That's
is.
What I was asking. I knew there's one in St. Louis also. I forget who goes. Somebody went there that I know. I've heard somebody famous went there. Okay. Are you buying some swag? Are you in the spirit of swag?
I saw a T-shirt with a Big Eight T-shirt. Okay. I was thinking about buying that. Yeah,
I get one of the things that's getting curated. I this happens to me a lot. I get a lot of like old T-shirt companies curated onto my Instagram timeline. You know, with like funny '80s references and things like that. I'm this close to buying one that says "I still owe Columbia House money."
Those bastards. Those sons of bitches. Yeah. Oh, my God, Columbia House. I'm so angry already. I can't believe you brought up Columbia House.
Columbia House.
Hey, get all these albums, and then once a month you'll get somebody you've never heard of in the mail.
And they're going to charge you. They're going to charge you a penny for these 15 CDs, but you have to buy this one that's $36. And if you don't, we're sending it to you anyways and charging you for it.
Hey, I added memberships on my YouTube channel. So the lowest they'll allow me to charge is 99 cents a month. Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to do some live streams where I don't have to deal with like the random internet a-holes, but just actually people they want. So it's 99. But my plea is in a very Sally Struthers, like, you can feed a hungry Seth for 3 cents a day. That's a...
Oh, yeah, some Sarah McLachlan playing underneath it.
Yeah. Show me one to order and another 10 wings, but my wallet is empty.
Oh, my God. All right. So go to
For Seth's. 3 cents a day, you can feed a hungry Seth.
Feed a hungry Seth. Oh, like, oh, man.
No, don't despair, everybody. I'm still doing my normal amount of content. I'm just doing extra members only live streams and
stuff, man.
To where I post game, you know, the biggest thing is I don't like Chiefs fans being up in the comments when I'm telling them,
dude,
that their quarterback is soft and faking an injury.
I'm guessing there's enough drunk and obnoxious Chiefs fans that are happy to pay the 99 cents to
make
that's
what I'm hoping for.
Way.
I want to bankrupt the city.
That's right. No, I'm willing to take that punishment if you'll pay me to do it. Yeah. Here's $10 to kick you in the junk, Seth. Joe Spada, I would contend right now that Hunter Brown is the best at his job in Houston in the sports world right now. He's freaking amazing. 7 shutout innings last night, 24 consecutive shutout innings, and he's been maybe not to this level, but he's been really, really good for nearly a year now. Really, really good. Aside from a couple random starts, he's been awesome. Here's Joe Spada on Hunter Brown.
Oh, man. Not surprised. Was that like, he's like 20-plus inning scoreless right now. He's on a roll. He's confident, dominant. You know, he goes after these guys. You know, he's got the stuff. He's got the demeanor. I'm just how quickly he's turnaround from last year, how it started and where he is now, it's been incredible to watch.
Thank God. I mean, that honestly is like a bolt of lightning. I know Alex Bregman and advice that he gave him to Hunter Brown had a lot to do with the turnaround, but that the turnaround was that drastic. Hunter Brown was the worst pitcher in baseball this time last year, and that's not an exaggeration. His ERA was in the teens probably this time a year ago, and that it wasn't just that he took all year last year to figure some things out. Now, it took all year to get his ERA under 4 because it was so bad at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever seen an athlete flip a switch in Houston sports history like this one, where he went from the worst to among the best, and there was no burn-in period. Like, it just flipped within 2 weeks. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, and
they don't win the division without him last year, and they're certainly not even 11-11 so far this year without him.
And he's been dominant so far. It's early in the season, so he's right now he's got the 6th lowest ERA amongst qualified starters in Major League Baseball. 1.1. Yeah, there's a bunch 1. Of guys 1. Under 1.2.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bunch. There's 6 that are below like 1.15 or wherever he is.
Yeah.
The last 24 innings are scoreless.
Yep.
That's the longest streak since Javier had that 25 1/3 stretch in 2022.
Yeah, and Javier but in 2022.
He's only the 5th Astros pitcher ever to have 24 scoreless innings in a row.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy. And 2022 Javier was a beast. No doubt about that. So,
oh, wait, no. This is the – okay. The only 5 Astros pitchers have worked at least 6 scoreless innings in each of his last 3 starts.
Okay.
That's the one that he's the there's only 5 Astros pitchers
okay,
that have
gotcha,
done that.
Okay, gotcha. He's been great, man. He's been really, really good.
The two welcome additions yesterday – also bound for postseason success, obviously.
Yep.
Forrest Whitley
yes.
comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Pitches the last 2 innings.
Former first-round pick.
And DeZenzo.
Yeah, DeZenzo. That was cool. Yeah, DeZenzo, he was the Julia Morales interview of the game after the game last night. He had a couple RBI, a couple hits, I know. He did some things. Was playing first base last night. They gave Christian Walker the night off. Here was Joe Espada on Zach DeZenzo.
Like a true pro, you know, it's not easy having young players who they want to be out there. I want to have them all out there. I'm a player development, you know, that's how I came up in my professional career. I understand the value of playing every day. But the way he's going about things, you know, preparing every day, taking extra swings, working on his defense at first in the outfield, I'm proud of him because he's not easy. He's not easy. And going out there against one of the best starters in the game and put those at-bats together, it was great to see.
It would be interesting.
He'll be playing tomorrow.
Okay, so he's playing again. Okay, he's back in the lineup again. Okay, so we'll see where. I mean, he can play all over the place. Zach DeZenzo. It's interesting, Seth, because in spring training, Joe Espada said that keeping Zach DeZenzo and Cam Smith on the big league roster, it's going to be difficult to do because they're both guys that need to get every day at bat somewhere, whether it's in the big leagues or whether it's at Corpus or Sugar Land, whatever the case may be. And then to a lot of people's surprise, they both made the opening day roster. And I wonder what changed. You know, like I wonder what took place. If it's just Joe Espada just changing his mind, if it's, man, we need all hands on deck to just win at this point because we're not as talented as we used to be. Or if there was a conversation where he sat down with Zach DeZenzo and Zach DeZenzo was able to convince him that he was wired to be able to handle this kind of jagged workload that he's getting. I would be very curious how they arrived at that because Joe Espada was adamant that DeZenzo and Cam Smith, above all else, those guys have to play every day.
And I think he's not now. And I think he still probably believes that, and that's the ideal circumstance, and yet they're also in a situation where they feel like DeZenzo is one of their best options.
He won the game for him last night in a way, right? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that it's that you have to sacrifice a little bit of the ideal development for the state of the actual Major League roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So Zach DeZenzo, he'll be back in the lineup today. We'll see.
The one thing, too, but okay, so in the bottom of the first, Altuve got on base by walking.
Yeah.
Then Alvarez hit the ball. It was caught shallow center field, and Altuve just kept on running to second. Altuve was stealing, and there was contact, and he kept running. got to second, realized, oh, and then tried to make it back to first. So the
oopsie.
Blum pointed out, it wasn't really captured in the broadcast, but Blum pointed out the center fielder kind of deked him, kind of fooled Altuve.
Yeah.
So Altuve didn't realize that. But they didn't get a good view of it. I wanted to go back and watch the Blue Jays broadcast to see if they got a better view of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. But they need to fire one of the Blue Jays commentators, because the Blue Jays commentator, as they're watching the replay, says, well, I mean, this is something you don't see very often. A veteran base runner like Altuve getting caught in a situation
that's
like this.
Someone who didn't read the scouting report right there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's his thing.
I know. That's his thing. That's his trademark thing.
Yes, yeah. Man. Oh, that's funny. John Lopez and the birthday boy, Reggie Atatula, is in the house. Happy birthday, my friend.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Thank
How
you.
Old are you?
I am 33 full whole ass years of age.
Wow.
At this point. Yeah.
That's a man. Yeah. You're an actual adult.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
What were you doing at 33, Seth? I was directing sales in the Rocky Mountains for a telecommunications company.
I was discovering day drinking.
It was right after
disastrously so.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
Let me tell you guys a story. I was when I was out of football, and I was still trying to figure out, you know, exactly what I was going to do with my life. I was realizing the plan that I had. I had a very specific plan for what I wanted to do, and about 6 months into it, I realized this sucks. I need to do something else. But I walked out on my porch one day at like 11 a.m. After pretending to work with some conference calls or something, I walked out on my porch and I was like, huh, there's really nothing keeping me from having a drink right now, is there? And within, I would say like 3 months, I'd gained 50 pounds.
Wow.
And was just having a hell of a time. I was living at the beach, you know?
Yeah.
I'm leaving Brandy out of this because I largely, I don't know what it was like for her. I was having a great time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I was an angry drunk or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had my entire life, I'd been very, very, very disciplined about the way I lived my life. And all of a sudden, with no guardrails, I was a disaster.
Not a free time, man. Right?
Just a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I realized, like, I got to get to work and I'm going to die. Yeah. I need to get a job to save myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All right, so Reggie, so you're ahead of Seth at least at age 30.
So don't go. Are you drinking right this moment?
I am not.
Or do you plan on drinking in the next hour?
I mean, now that this story has come up, I thought about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a radio station. I guarantee you there is alcohol in the building somewhere.
Oh, I'm certain of it.
Yeah.
That might be the scavenger hunt during the show.
Yeah. We definitely have that.
Yep. Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing each and every day. So what's the question of the day, boys?
Are you familiar with Cam Jurgens getting the $68 million.
The center for the Eagles. Yeah. Somehow they keep signing all these guys.
Yes.
Except for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but they traded us.
It got me thinking because he made $5 million plus last year.
Okay, he's making like 18 now or whatever
it
is. Or
but
19,
refused to – the first thing he said he was going to do with his money is go ahead and get that TSA pass.
TSA pre? for $80 or whatever?
He didn't do it when he had $5
million. He's like, I could splurge now.
Now I can splurge. So the question is, what are some things that really don't cost a lot of money, but you just refuse to spend money?
Okay, I'm a bad person to ask. I spend.
You're like, I make this money for the convenience.
I'm out on this question.
But we all have little things like Seth. I don't know what yours is, but mine, the number one that came to mind is, and my boys give me a hard time on this. I never buy shaving cream.
Really? What do you use, soap?
I use hot water.
Okay.
Like really hot
water. Oh, my God.
Like going to a barber.
Okay.
You know, really?
Real hot water.
With a straight razor?
Put it on my face with the triple blade. And they're like, what do you do? It's a better shave. But I also just refuse to buy shaving cream.
Yeah. Oh.
You're not going to get anything from me, Gillette.
Sean, you know the answer to this one because you watched me when we were in in Florida for spring training. Use a toothbrush that I keep for cleaning off my dilapidated old sneakers.
Yeah.
I've got an issue, man. I get severe anxiety in trying to pick out a new pair of sneakers or even just buying the same ones that I have that I already like. I refuse to do it until they're falling apart.
Okay.
Like falling apart. I just can't do it. I get, even if there's a deal, I found deals for the sneakers that I like for 50% off. And I'm like, I just don't want to spend that money right now.
If you use them to do athletic things, you should replace them because it's bad for your legs to have shoes.
No, I know.
Like
yeah,
that.
But I don't. These are my walk-around shoes.
Okay.
And I just don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've convinced my – I do most of my other exercising barefoot. So yeah. I'm like, because there's reasons to do that.
Yeah, I've started trying to do that myself. Like, that's a good way to go about it, huh?
Footwear. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, barefoot?
Yeah.
Barefoot.
Okay.
Yeah. The Mac lifting Hollins? And everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Footwear was definitely one for me. And this is why I remember this because I used to do the same thing. And then finally, Sammy bought me, my son.
Mm-hmm. Out of shame?
Bought me a new pair. It was either like some really nice, nice flip flops.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
They were shoes. I can't remember which. But the card said, now you don't have to wear this broke ass apparel.
Wow.
I was like 16 at the time. I'm like, you can't talk to me like that.
Like
yeah.
we can spend money on them, but yeah. We just refuse.
Yeah, other than that, I'm fairly irresponsible.
I got a couple of others that are kind of embarrassing, but still.
You do? Okay. 10:40 today?
You know what? Part of that was like, you know, when I was in my period of heavy drinking though, but part of it, like I knew a lot of commercial real estate guys. And some like really successful real estate investors that were kind of mentoring me through stuff. And the guys that I knew had properties like in excess of like $300 or $400 million, those dudes would walk around in the sloppiest apparel and almost like as a point of pride, like weren't spending extra money on shoes and everything. So there's almost a part of me is like, man, this is vanity. If I just, I don't need, nope. Mm-hmm. I am who I am. I don't need shiny, fancy sneakers. Nope,
yeah.
Screw it.
That was my ex-father. Yeah. My ex-father-in-law ran the whole sugarcane racket down in Louisiana when he was alive, shopped for his clothes at Walmart, drove a beat up Ford LTD, dip cups in every cup holder with, with spit still in them. Like you would just, you'd never know, man.
So where did the money go? Then, because I always feel like with those people, there's at least one place where the money shows up.
He bought a lot of land. I mean, he did thousands and thousands of acres of sugar cane.
Bought more income producing stuff.
Right? Yeah.
And, well, you splurge on stuff that produces even more income.
Yeah. And he had seven kids.
Yeah,
not all of whom were the most responsible.
That's where the splurging showed up.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a limousine, crunchy vibe to you as well.
Thank you, and swag. Lots of swag.
Lots of swag.
All right, we're done. We are out of time. Happy birthday, Reggie.
Thank you.
John, thanks for bringing in those tacos for Reggie's birthday. That was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.